didn't believe in human love. And so I didn't understand what human love and human compassion was all about. And then God brought a woman in my life named Amy Lynn Morey. That'd be my wife. And through her, God showed me that there is such a thing as human love. Human beings can love one another through their faults, through their mistakes. And so for many years, what we do as convicts is we push away. We build walls. We don't let people in because that person's out there hurting me. Why is she being so nice to me? Why is she being so kind? How can she just think that she loves me? That's how we think in our brain. God used my wife to tear that away. And so 100%, brother, I believe 100% God brought Amy into my life to help get me through that and to help get me past that. She is the help meet that I need. She is my backbone. She is there praying for me. You see, everybody looks at us and they go, "Oh, the Morey's," but you don't understand what goes on in the hotel rooms. You don't understand what goes on in the cars. You don't understand what goes on in the churches and the people who say they like you and they're putting knives in your back. I have many people come up and shake my hand and say, "Oh man, I loved your preaching," and I can tell on their face they hated every minute of it. The spiritual battles. We just came out of Virginia. The spiritual battles on the three of us that were there were almost so oppressive, I almost stopped preaching. I told the pastor, I said, "I don't think I can go on anymore." He said, "Dale, preach." I said, I'm struggling up here, man. We're being oppressed terribly. You see, people don't see that side of the ministry. What people don't see the side of the ministry is I go into the jails and prisons. I'm an ex-convict myself. I spent a lot of years in three different states, in jails and prisons in three different states. Spent a lot of time being an addict. Spent a lot of time being a criminal out there living on the streets and mental hospitals and such. I lived all that stuff, rehabs. But people don't understand that when I go in there, the devils are jumping all over me. Brother, when I walk out of the jail, you ask my family, I barely make it home before I have to collapse on my bed. I'm so exhausted from the fight. That's what they don't see in the ministry. People don't understand that part of the ministry. Sometimes it's just a spiritual battle. But do we stop because of that? Do we just say, "Oh, I can't handle that anymore"? No, we press on. We press on because we know there are souls that are there who need Jesus Christ. There are souls that Jesus Christ has sent us to. And how far, how willing are we willing to go? Again, you draw a line with God and you're His child, He's going to bring you past that line. You're going to learn more out of your comfort zone than you ever will in it. You understand that. God must bring His child out of the comfort zone in order for us to learn. Because when we're in that uncomfortable spot, God, we're more apt to hear God. And so if you were here this morning, you would have heard that. You would have heard what God had to say. Look, when the pastor gets up here and starts talking about having your children and yourself in Sunday school, he means that. He's the man of God. God instructed him to say, don't get angry at him. Get angry at God. Get angry at God. God called that man to be the preacher here. Let me ask you, honestly, with all your heart, how many of you are fasting for the man of God? That tells you how much he means to you. He has a battle going on right now trying to get a piece of property. How many of you are fasting for that? I'm just saying. We call ourselves Christians, yet we just take it so lightly. We esteem what Christ has said in this book so lightly. Well, Dale, I just told you, Liberty Behind Bars ministry. We have a jail and prison ministry. Only one update I'd like to tell you about. Go visit our table. Get our information. You can read about us on that back table. But libertybehindbars.com is our website. We are now in the workings of a transition home for ladies. Okay? You say, why ladies? Well, we prayed and fasted for that. I didn't just pray for that. We prayed and fasted, and I had an Amish man who got saved. Fast for that, okay, and pray. I said, you tell me who you think God has laid on your heart. And he called me a few weeks later. Me and him fasted together. He said, Brother Dale, he said, I believe the ladies. I said, oh, perfect, I knew it. Why? Because there's three sets of people that get left to their cells in prison. Ladies for sure. Why? Because there's more men in jail and prison, so everybody's after the men. They got help for them. They got ministries for them. And so they really go in there and they really want to help them. But ladies are left to themselves, okay? number two is the Spanish-speaking people. Man, do they suffer. There's nobody in there working with them. I do the best I can through Google Translate. I don't speak Spanish, but we spend hours, you know, copying stuff, trying to Google Translate it, get it back into those Spanish people, buy Spanish Bibles, so we do what we can. Spanish people. The third are veterans. My goodness, our veterans. Look, they've broken the law. Don't feel sorry for them because they're in prison. But do feel sorry for them because they're trapped. And nobody, look, we can collectively go in there and work with each one of these individual groups. But Jesus Christ didn't work with, look, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, when somebody had the plague, and thousands of them had the plague, did they all come together at once? One at a time, they had to go to that priest. Why? It's a personal thing that's going on. Why wouldn't we make our ministries personal with those people? I may be able to go in there and preach Jesus Christ in it, but I cannot understand one iota of what that man or woman went through being a veteran. I can't understand one bit of that. And that's a big help. That's why God has called people to go back to their people. People who are in jail and prison are my people. They're my kind. You know, I didn't have to go to language school because I speak their language. I'll be real. There's a whole different language in there. It's called Ubonics, man. It's a language that's spoken out there on the streets and spoken. And so when I go in, I understand perfectly what they're saying. Sometimes my wife or other people that I'm with, they'll go, what does that mean? And I'll have to explain to them what that means because it's a difference. And when I go in there, I can go in there and talk that. And I go, oh, he. And when they find out that I've been in that I was an ex-gang member, it just opens doors that other doors are closed to other people. Why? Because I can go back to them with an understanding because I've been there. I understand what it's like being trapped in that gang. I understand what it's like being in those behind jails and prisons. I understand the mindset. I understand all that stuff perfectly. Not because I read it in a book, but I lived it. Okay? I lived it. And so God has called us back. So the ladies are the transition home. We're hoping within a year, we'll have that transition home bought and paid for. It's all going to be through church people. Okay, we're not getting any government involvement whatsoever. We want them to go ahead and keep their hands out of everything because all they're going to do is ruin it. And we're talking four ladies. You go, why so small? Because we need to keep it personal. If not, we lose them. We can start a huge ministry. We can. I can go out there and I can get a home and I can get the federal government involved and I can get a 16-story building. But that's not what God wants for Liberty Behind Bars. Success is going to come in smaller numbers in this ministry. Why? Because we are going to literally take these ladies by their hand and help them day by day. We can send them to a million programs. Let's just look around and see how them programs are helping. Let's look how the rehabs and the drugs that they're putting them on are helping. They inflate numbers. They lie, okay? I know because I'm in the jail and prison system. I watch what they do. And they're lying. Why? Because if they don't inflate the numbers, then the federal government will not give them money. Trust me when I tell you. I've been in it for 7 years. I can tell you the things that they've asked me to do that I absolutely 100% refuse. I'm not in there for them. I'm in there for those men and women. And so you pray for Liberty Behind Bars as God helps us raise the money that we need. We're looking at $100,000 to be able to purchase the home, get that up and running. Hopefully by next year, Lord willing, that's who he'll have. This is something new for you guys who've sat here before. You've never heard me say that. But now God has, since the beginning of this year, has nudged me. Let's get it going. Let's get it going. Let's pray on this. And so I'm thinking here in the next week we'll have about $11,000 raised. And so God will just, you know, keep doing what he's going to do. And I believe he'll have that home open. You go, why did it take so long? Because God had to run me through 6 years of the wilderness. I'm an ex-convict. Understand that. A drug addict. Somebody from the streets. An ex-gang member. And God had to run me through the wilderness to train me for what? What he wants. Not about what I want. Because there's been offers out there, brother, where they offer me $50,000 plus $60,000 a year to take over chaplaincies in jails and prisons. That would have destroyed me and my family. It's not what God wanted for me and my family. So how does he get me to see that? How does he take that out of my heart? The wilderness. The wilderness. Plain and simple. And we're going to do a part two of what we did this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8. please take our information. Viv's our website. And go look on there. Look, you like if you're a prayer warrior, we have prayers on there that you can pray for those men and women. Okay, we try to update it. There's prayer. Why they need prayers too? They're hurting. Their families are hurting. Okay, they're incarcerated. We want them saved. Okay, we want them to hear Jesus Christ. And just think of the plethora. That means many. Think of all the people that are going in there and pumping their heads with a bunch of nonsense. And then we got to come in behind that, okay? So you pray on that. You know, that's not often what people think of, but we have to keep that in your mind. You have to keep that in your prayers when you're thinking about liberty behind bars. Is we're going behind a bunch of religious people. We're going behind a lot of state and federal programs. And I'm not saying they're bad, okay? Let me just say this. I went to Rochester, and she's not in office anymore, but Mayor Lovely Warren was in office, the mayor, invited me to her office. Now, we're going to have a personal one-on-one sit-down with them, okay? And so I sit down with her, and she believes nothing that I believe. She's a Democrat. We both are totally on the different sides of the tracks. But when you're helping people, here's what God taught me with Daniel and Joseph. Be able to work with the government, but never compromise your God. That's what we do. We work within our government, but there are times that I've had to draw the line and said, I will not do that because that interferes with my belief. Okay? I go and sit down with the mayor and I'm trying to help, trying to see what we can do to be more help to help the people. And she says, Mr. Morey, can I tell you what's missing and helping people today? What's missing in the programs? What's missing in these things? I said, absolutely. I said, I would love to hear what you think is missing in these things. And she looked at me and she said, Jesus. That was her word. And we're not even the same level. But she understood perfectly that Jesus Christ is being left out of everything. And then we expect to help people? Look, if they do go to AA and NA, that becomes their church. The blue book is their Bible. That becomes their religion. But it's not helping them on the inside. They're still lost. They're still going to bust hell wide open. I'm not in recovery. I'm recovered. ED, past tense. Why? Because that's what Jesus Christ does. But people don't believe that anymore, so therefore they turn to everything else. I did it. I was trapped in that. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm not going to get in there, but that's just a little bit of, that's a freebie. There's something God wanted to throw out there. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we started in verse 2. I got to get there myself. We started in verse 2, and I'm just going to read verse 2 again, but we're going to really concentrate on verse 3, because why else would God have to lead us into the wilderness? Well, verse 2, it says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord God, thy God had led thee. So we know this is a remembrance. God wants us to remember those things he leads us into. He led us these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So God has a purpose for a spiritual wilderness in our life. But let's go on to verse 3 and look what he says here. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he what? Might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God has to put people in the wilderness to get them to live the things of God, to live the Word of God, to believe the Word of God. I can't believe when I travel around and I hear about these King James believers. They prefer the King James. They'll teach from the King James. But they sure won't live it. There are many people who profess to be believers in this Bible. And I go and I look at them, I go, my goodness, if that's living what the Bible says, I want no part of it. And I'm a Christian. Could you imagine what a non-Christian's looking like? They're like, God gave us that book to live, to know. Look at, I don't think any of us in here are suffering from hunger, are we? How do you feed yourself physically? With food. How are you going to feed yourself spiritually? Oh, wait. And I'm not against anything that you do. I just want you to know that. But I have to say something. How do they feed themselves today? Because the churches have lost their belief. Programs. Everything is a program. Because they've forgotten how to get people in with the Word of God. You said it perfectly, brother. They just want people that want to come in on a Wednesday. Well, we don't have nothing for our children. They got preaching to sin under. They need to hear that Bible being preached to them. They need to hear that Bible being opened up to them. They need to sin under the preacher. Why? Because it's the foolishness of preaching that saved them which believe. They didn't say it was a program that saved them. And I'm not against programs. I think they're good things. I believe in the programs in this church. Why? Because that Bible's preached. But it's not everywhere. Everything's a program. Everything's a program. You know what that is? That's just showing that they don't have any faith or belief in what that Bible says. And so you know what God's got to do? He's got to bring that church through the wilderness. Why? Because that's the only time He can get their attention. I love this Bible. Look, it's not a hard thing for me to get up. If you have to get up in the morning and go, well, I guess I got to read. My goodness. How far Christians have gotten from the love of this book. You go, man, you go a little overboard with that great because you don't know what my life was before this. I thank God for the King James Bible. Hey, look, I'm not just a believer in it. I live it. I may make all kinds of mistakes in the world, but I have a book to go to and it can guide me and direct me out of that nonsense. And that's why God has to lead people into the wilderness to get them to get into that Bible and to live it. Look, we don't have a problem feeding ourselves the physical food. You ought to feed yourself some spiritual food. Get into that Bible. Get on your face to God. Well, you see what that says? That He might make thee to know. Might make thee to know. Why? Because not everybody wants to know. There are many people in the church today who could care less about what's coming from behind this pulpit. That's why He says, might make thee to know. It's not 100% thing. Why? Because He's leaving it up to you. Might make thee to know. He wants you to know, but not all people want to know. He leaves it up to you. Do you want to know? Hey, if you want to know what this book says, Sunday school ought to be important to you then. Wednesday nights ought to be just as important as a Sunday. Why? You're going to be praying for some people. Man, I love Wednesday nights. We even got a Thursday night at our church. And sometimes we even do a Saturday. Oh, that's way too much. For you it is. That's because where your heart is. It shows you where your heart's at. You mean to tell me you can get too much church and too much Bible? Man. I feel sorry for you then. You go, you're lying. We travel around the country, brother. Before I was even in missions, we traveled around the country to hear preaching. Why? We got a new life. We got a new excitement. We got somebody gave us life that we never thought could happen on this planet. And man, there's joy. You go, man, do you go through hard times? We go through a whole lot of hard times. But I tell you what now, going through the hard times with Jesus Christ ain't nothing like it was going through them hard times without Him. Amen. We have an instruction manual now. Hey, brother, when I got saved, I don't know how to be a husband. My pastor can't come to my house and sit with me 24 hours a day. Where do you think I learned how to be a husband? Where do you think I learned how to be a dad? I'm just being real. Where do you think I learned how to be a Christian? Look, it is the preaching. Preaching of the what? Bible. And are there men that can help us and give us instruction and wisdom? 100%. But God's not worried about that. He wants you to fall in love with His Word. Yeah. To fall in love with this wonderful King James Bible. Hey, look. There are many things that we get involved with on the outside. And we put our hearts into them. When we come to church, we ought to put our heart into hearing what God has to say. If you came here to hear me, you've already come with the wrong heart. If you come here despising me in your heart, because I know there's people that do that, you've already came in with the wrong heart, you'll never get anything. You'll stop the word of God immediately. Don't come to hear what I have to say. You come hear what the preacher has to say. You go, you know, I have a hard time in the mornings and so on. So I've had 16 back surgeries. I take zero pain medicine and I get up every single morning, read my Bible. Before I come to church, I pray, Lord, give me what I need. You know what I do? I go to bed early and that's so I don't sleep in church. You know, I get so tired of watching people sleep in church. And I understand some are sickly. I get it. I understand when some are sick. But when you can come here and blatantly just fall asleep, you're just showing God what you really feel about the Bible. You're showing God what church really means in your heart. If you can't get to bed enough, early enough. Brother, we must have some kind of magic in our pews and chairs that when people sit in, all of a sudden, man. I'm not talking to the sickly. I'm not talking to the sickly. I'm glad they're here. Even if they are falling asleep and they're sickly, they're hearing the word. I'm all right with that. I'm talking about those who are younger, those who aren't sickly, those who are healthy. What's the word of God mean? What does church mean to you? Well, let me just tell you this. God will get your attention by how? Run you through that wilderness. He'll put you in that wilderness to get your attention. God has to lead people into the wilderness to get them to know. Not hope so, not guess, but to know that man doth not live by bread only, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God wants you to know this is how you are to live your life. It's not a guessing game. Well, I wonder how. Well, look in the Bible. Get on your knees and fast and pray and then say, Lord, would you show me in your word? 99% of the time, God uses his word to show me my question. What? How am I? What am I? What am I supposed to do? What am I not supposed to do? But there are times that God sent a man, not just any man, not just some Joe Schmo. But God has sent a man my way, a man of God who loves Jesus Christ. And he'll come and say, you know, I've been praying for you, brother, and God put you on my heart. He said, how would you like a box of printing paper? How about that, Pastor? Me and my wife were just talking. We said, well, we got to go buy some paper to do some printing. We do a lot of printing for the inmates. We're sending a lot of information. This morning as I was getting ready to come here, I get a text from Pastor Terry Fenton and say, hey, I got a box of printing paper for you. That's wonderful. God did that, man. God does that. God can send a man or a woman your way to tell you what's going on, help you what's going on in your life. But I'll tell you who it'll come from. Somebody who's in this. Somebody who's in this. And somebody who's been through some things. I like them warriors that have been through some things before me. A lot of the men of God that I have known for years are dying. They're going off to glory, and I believe God is sparing them what's coming. These are older men in their 80s and such. And they're going off to glory, and I believe God is sparing them the troubles that are coming. You know why else he's sparing? Because they'd be sick of what the churches are doing today. This is odd. This is not the norm. What you have here is not the norm. This is not even close to the norm.
That's right.
What you have here, let me just say this. If you don't thank God for your church, there's something wrong with you, man, to appreciate what you have here. Because it ain't the norm. And it's heartbreaking. I could probably name 5 or 6 churches right now that are going to close in New York. And those people, they reach out and they go, what do we do, Dale? The man of God is leaving us for a bigger church. More money. And those poor people are going to suffer because they got nobody. And you know what they end up doing? They end up selling the church. Oh, you know what? That's rolling downhill from our belief in this Bible, my friends. God is showing Americans exactly what we are because exactly what we're doing. He's going to run these churches through some things. We think that we have suffered. It's coming, guys. I'm telling you now, those things that we read for those missionaries who are overseas, we're going to start hitting that America. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to falter and fail as Christians. You say, well, how do you know that? Look what we did during COVID. Yeah. Well, we couldn't even handle COVID. You kidding me? Weak Christians. Why didn't people run to us to pray with us? They ran from us. We're a mock. We're a mockery in America. Christians are a mockery. Baptist Christians are a mockery in America. Why? Because we faltered. What kind of God do we serve when we falter when something hits this country? Who cares if Joe Biden's president? God allowed it. Pray for his salvation. You don't have to agree with them, but all you do is complain and murmur. What are you doing? Changing what? You helped him get in office. You go, how did I do that? You stop reading that Bible. You stop living it. You stop loving it. You stop praying in it. And now we're going to run through a wilderness here in America. And God's going to show us, look, you can't live off of what you've had. Oh, you go, how do you know where your heart's at? Let God start stripping some of your material stuff from you. Let that bank account get down to zero for a while. You'll see exactly where your heart's at. I can guarantee you this, it ain't where you think it is. That's a fact. That's a fact. How do you know, Dale? Because God does it to me and my family quite often. Why? Because I get puffy. Hey, I'm an ex-convict. What do you think's going to happen to me? I'm not afraid to tell you the truth about myself. Why don't you look at what you are? I'm not afraid to tell you what I am. I am what I am, and Christ is the one making me this way. I did not ask to preach. I didn't go, oh, God, look, I'm such a wonderful speaker. Oh, let me go out there and preach to the people. Hey, let me just jump in this jail and prison ministry. I was so happy being a 9th through 12th grade Sunday school teacher with my wife. I thought I was going to go to eternity doing that. That's a reality. You know how happy my life was? It's wonderful. Brother, I would have been happy sitting in that church pew being a Sunday school teacher and go to heaven from there. Why? Because God had turned our life upside down and we were joyous, we were happy, there was peace. For the first time in my life, I functioned on a clean and clear conscience. Because since I was a little boy, you see, the government thought they knew better than God and put me on meds. So my whole life was, I was filled with their medications. And then I got older and my conscience was killing me. So what do? I go cover that with some illegal drugs and some drinking. And so my whole life, I'm 52 years old, Brother Fenton, and for the first time in my life, I'm functioning on a clean and clear conscience that's chemical free. And it feels good! It feels wonderful! Why? Because I got Jesus in me! He's my new drug! He's my medication! You go, why do you get so loud and excited? Because I'm saved! I'm saved! I'm saved! How about you? Don't you have a reason to get excited? My goodness, get excited. Hey, if your excitometer is broken, fix it! Get to Jesus, He'll do it for you! Gosh. Come on, people. You go, well, He saved you out of jail and prison. You know what He did for you? He spared you from it! You got a wonderful testimony if you never had an addiction to drugs or alcohol, and if you were raised in a church. You got a wonderful testimony. I love those testimonies. Man, they're powerful. You bring them into a jail and prison, and they go, oh my, you mean good people need to be saved? They have no clue. They know we need to be saved. A law-abiding, tax-paying citizen needs to be saved. They don't understand that. When's the last time you thank God for where He puts you? Psalm 130 tells you that He spared you from that destruction. Oh, thank God for it. That's why I get excited. God has to bring people into the wilderness to get them to live what the Word of God says. James 1:22, we all know it says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving me when you don't live this. You're deceiving yourself. You come to church and you think you're really something that you're not. He says, don't just be here. Man, we have too many hearers in the churches today. Every one of you are hearing my voice. You know how you can tell when somebody's listening? You know, that's in your Bible two different times. When a person listens, they walk out that door changed. Why do you have to walk in here week after week after week after week and stay the same person you've always been? Because all you've become is a hearer. I'll just tell you, if you can't get something out of the Word of God every single week, there is something wrong with you, not the Bible. And it don't have to be a gigantic thing. There are small things that God holds against us. Our brains thinking as Christians, all we think is the basic sins. Well, God doesn't like. No, there's a lot of things in your life He may not like. You ought to go ask Him one day about those small things in your life you think you're okay with. How is God going to get you to see that small thing? Through the wilderness. In that wonderful book you're holding in your hand called the King James Bible. Too much religion. Too much religion. American churches are inundated with church religion. And you know what it's doing? Killing them. I tell my children all the time, when they're lost, just because you were raised in church doesn't give you a ticket to heaven. You need to get saved. You need to be born again. Just because my children were raised in church, they know no different. None. But they need the same thing their parents need. We're raising children today, brother, like you said. We're raising children today, getting them to believe that just because they come to church, they're okay. Just because you little boys and girls can put ties on and little dresses on does not make you saved. I'm just letting you know that right now. It takes Jesus Christ. It's not because you bring them to church. It's not because we brought our kids to church. It's because Jesus Christ is trying to work a work in our children. And I know many people. And I'm going to say something. I know many people, there's two circumstances I know. I knew a young girl who came under conviction underneath preaching, not my preaching. And she came up to her mother and she says, "Mama lost." And her mom put her arm around her. She said, "Honey, you prayed that prayer when you were four. Don't worry, you're okay." God forbid! You tell them to go search that Bible. It says to examine yourself, not your parents to tell you that you're saved. You tell your child to examine what the Bible says. You'll send that child to hell. Because the Holy Ghost isn't convincing them you are. When did you become the Holy Ghost? God, I'm straightening it out. Will He not or will He? The second thing. A couple years ago we buried a kid who grew up in a Baptist church. All through Sunday school, all through most of his teenage years. And then he wanted to get out from underneath his parents. And he did. Within a year, he's on drugs, shooting. Prison. Over and over again. And I worked closely with him. I loved him. Then we ended up having to bury him unsaved. But before he died, one of the times I was sitting down with him, Pastor Fenton, I said, "Tell me why. Why won't you come back to church? Why will you not come and sit in church and hear the preaching?" I said, "You know these things. Why won't you come back?" And his words were this: "The hypocrisy of my parents, being one way in church and another way at home. You'll damn your children being two different ways. You'll damn them to hell being two different ways." Now the mother, she's in her 60s, end up just getting saved. And she's been in a Baptist church for 30 years. And she got saved. I said, she's like my second mother. And I walked up to her. I gave her a hug. I said, "The only reason why you can handle this the way you are is because Jesus Christ stepped into your life." And now she tells her son's story to try to avoid other people getting into it. God forbid, Pastor Fenton, if you have to stand over a casket like that for some Baptist child that grew up in here, mommy and daddy kept convincing them they're okay. I'm not saying that to be cruel. I'm saying that because there's a love in my heart for people. I'm not saying that to be cruel at all, brother. 5 minutes and I'll be done. Don't deceive yourself. Be doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Oh, goodness. Yeah, I'm just, you know, give you some things to think about today. It wasn't really my message, but, you know, the Lord put it on my heart and I'm going to say it. I'm not trying to step on toes and I'm not apologizing, right? I'm just telling you, this wasn't my message. When God steps in, I'm going to go ahead and just give my mouth. I'm going to go ahead and let Him lead where He wants to lead because it's not about me. Ezra chapter 7, I'm trying to give you a little time to get there. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, it tells us this about Ezra. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it." What did he do to receive the word? He prepared his heart. Why? Because this is not a self-help manual. This is a God help me manual. It says holy. That means it's God's spoken word. It takes a preparation of our wicked hearts to get this into it. How many of you prepared your heart to receive the word of God today? How many of you came to church expecting God to show up? It takes a preparation of the heart to receive something that's holy. That just goes to show you how people think of this. They don't think they need to prepare their heart to receive this. Yet we have men in this Bible who prepared their heart to receive it. We think that we don't have to. Well, good, children of God, if you're saved in here, if you're born again, God will just put you in the wilderness to get you to start doing that. You ought to be preparing your heart to receive the word of God. It's a holy word. I'm going to close with Daniel chapter 1. Go to Daniel chapter 1. Then I'll be done, but I just want you to see that God has to bring us to the wilderness for what? To get our attention in the Word of God. To help us prepare ourselves so that we don't become, like James says, just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And we have to prepare our hearts. And if God has to bring us in that wilderness, He doesn't have a problem bringing His child in that wilderness. He doesn't have a problem bringing him there and leaving him there. It said that He left the children of Israel in where? 40 years in the wilderness. You know why He left them there for 40 years? Because of their heart. How long is God, if He brings you into the wilderness, how long is He going to take before you can come out the other side? He doesn't want to get you out of it. Every time you read about the children of Israel, before the time that they were going into the land of Canaan, they had to go through, 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 through. Before you get to eternity, you're going to go through, 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 through. And it's okay. Stop fighting it. Start looking at it differently. It's not always a punishment. There may be something God's trying to accomplish in your life. We always take it and go, well, God's punishing me for what? Then find out why. You know why then. I mean, there's something. There's something He wants to accomplish in your life. Realize where we are, the days that we're in. Look at Daniel chapter 1. So we know we have to prepare our hearts. But look at Daniel chapter 1 and verse 10. And it says, and 1:8, I'm sorry. But Daniel, what's that next word? Purpose. That means he made a decision, a conscious decision. This was what he wanted. It says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. You know what that's saying? Daniel said, I don't want nothing of the world. I only want what God wants me to have. That takes a purpose in your heart, my friend. How does your heart get to that point where it wants to purpose that? The Word of God. If you won't get in the Word of God, then God will surely put you in the wilderness. People often say, well, I'm just happy with what God has given me. Would you be happy? The Levites, back in the Old Testament, the rest of Israel, they were getting all their inheritance. God said, you don't get an inheritance. I'm your inheritance. What if God stripped everything from you and said that I am the only inheritance that you will have? How happy do you think you'd be? We all think that we have the answer. We sit here spiritually in a church and go, I'd be happy with just God. Oh, well then, let it allow you to go through that wilderness and start stripping some things out. Let's see how many phone calls your pastor gets. Can you pray for us on Wednesday night? You'll sit here. Can you pray for me on this situation? Oh, I thought you wanted what God wanted. I thought you were willing to go where God wants you to go. I'm just going to tell you this now. This Christian walk isn't a joke. It's not a religion. If you're playing religion, go ahead and get rid of it, because religion never changed a person. A relationship with Jesus Christ is what changes, not religion. Religion is nothing. People are dying and fighting over religion. We have a relationship with Christ. I can say most of us in here believe that Jesus Christ, the Creator, spoke this world into existence. You mean to tell me you don't know if He stepped inside of you or not? You mean to tell me He can't take care of your life, but yet you believe He spoke this very world we live in into existence, but the same Jesus Christ in you can't help you? That's a reality. That's the power. If supposedly you're saved, you have Him inside of you. The fullness of God dwelleth in you. The problem is we don't tap into it. We don't go to that. So what's God have to do? He's going to bring us to the wilderness. Why? He wants us to look at that book. And you know what He says? I got to read one more thing. And I wrote it down here. You don't have to turn there. Here's what God did with His word. You probably know where I'm going. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy love and kindness and for Thy truth. Why? For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. If God has magnified and lifted up His word above all that He is, should we not? God is doing this. God says, I have magnified My word above all My name. Should we not lift His word up even higher? Oh, I love Jesus. I love God. You know what He says? If you love Me, keep My... Why aren't we? And if we're not, guess what God's going to do? He's going to surely bring His children to that wilderness. Hey, if you're not under chastisement, if you've not experienced the wilderness, maybe you're not His. I know my backside is... I'll tell you what, my backside from God chastising to me is pretty raw. But I'm willing to go ahead and take that. Why? For myself? Oh, no. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, God is the God of all mercies and comfort, who comforted us in our troubles, that we may be able to comfort them. There are things you're going to go through in your life to help somebody else. Are you willing? And if you're not, ask God to make you willing, then hold on, because you're going to go through the wilderness. But the wilderness, look, it won't kill you. It'll build you up. It'll strengthen you. It'll establish you. It'll settle you, okay? Let God do what He has to do. Brother, I'm done. Thank you again.
Let's bow our heads. Stand to our feet. We'll have an invitation. If you need to come today for anything at all, you come. Christian, maybe you need to come and pray about some things. I know that I think he hit a lot of us today. Not Brother Maury, the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, I would just encourage you, challenge you, beg you, please come. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you don't know where you would spend eternity if you were to die this afternoon, you need to get that taken care of now. Let me ask you a question. You got any guarantees that you'll see tonight, tomorrow, next week, next year? Many of you in here, probably most of you in here, are younger than I am, but you have no guarantees where you're going to what you're going to do tomorrow or next week. You have aspirations and you have goals in life, and there's things that maybe you want to try to accomplish as you get older. Sometimes we joke and we say, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Some have answers and some don't. Young people, what if you never grow up? What if you die at a very young age? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Ask yourself that right now. Do I know where I'm going to spend eternity when I die? Not if I die, but when I die. Because we're all going to die someday. Where are you going to spend eternity? Heaven or hell? Well, there's only one way into heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not getting there on your good works. You're not getting there on your religion. You're not getting there on some Baptist belief. You're getting there through Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection, the gospel. Do you know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven? Christian, how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? How often are you in that book? How often are you praying? Do you faithfully attend church? Are there other things in your life that keeps you or hinders you from reading your Bible, praying, spending time with God? Amen. You may be seated. Brother Morey, thank you for that message.